Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Okay. This is Sunday, September 25th, 1977, 3:40 p.m. at the home of Mr. James Earl Jarman Jr., 6409 Tumble Creek. Is that road or avenue? Trail. The following story will be told by Mr. Jarman. In the presence of investigator William Brown and Albert Maxwell. Mr. Jarman, would you start at the beginning and just tell us in your own words what happened on November 22nd, 1963?
Well, on November 22nd, 1963, I arrived at work approximately 8:01, and I went into the jet dressing room where we changed clothes. Then after I changed my street clothes into my work clothes, I proceeded to where I check out books going to various schools around in Texas. And I proceeded to check books and everything, writing up CODs and things like that. And the first time that I saw Oswald were about somewhere between 8:30 and 9 o'clock that morning, and which at the time he was filling orders, and I was checking. And the next time I saw Oswald was about between 11:30 and 12 o'clock, and he had made a mistake on a book, and I told him to go and get the correct book, and which he did. And see, before that, we were standing at the window about 11:30. Between 11 and 11:30. And what you asked me is what the people were standing out there for. And I told him, didn't he know that the president was coming through? And he said, no, he didn't. And I told him, well, I say the president will be through here sometime this morning. And he said, oh, I see. And then he left and continued to build arms. Then it was about 11:30 or something to 12 when I saw him again and told him that he had made a mistake on a book, and which he went and got and corrected. And I didn't see him anymore after that. And around about 12 o'clock, we took off for lunch, and me and a couple of friends of mine went outside. Earl Norman, Danny White, and myself. And we were standing on the corner, and the motorcade was a little bit arriving. And around about 11:20, 11:25, we went up to the fifth floor. And after arriving on the fifth floor, we went to the south side of the building, to the windows on the fifth floor, and waited for the motorcade to arrive. And while we were there, about a couple of minutes later, another one of the workers joined us, which was Bonnie Ray Williams. So he came up to the windows, and we asked him what was he doing up there. You know, was he coming to see the motorcade? He said, might as well. So we all kneeled down and waited for the motorcade. And when the motorcade arrived, and just as it would turn to go west toward the triple underpass, that's when I heard something that sounded like a backfire to me. And I counted the times that it backfired, and it was 3 times. And then after that, after I heard this second or third backfire, which I thought it was after the president, then he reached up to his temple like, and I thought he was brushing his hair back. But then I realized that someone was shooting at me. Then we ran to the west side of the building to see which way the motorcade was going to go then. And the limousine that he was in, it took off at a high rate of speed. So we ran back to the center of the building. And I noticed that Harold Norman had a bunch of debris in his head, which I imagine was dust from above upstairs there on the sixth floor. And I told Bunny Ray, I said, man, you see all that debris in Hank's hair? He said, yeah, man. I said, Hank said, man, them shots came from upstairs. What we gonna do? I said, well, we're not gonna do anything right now but get the hell out of here. So he said, we're gonna take the elevator. I said, no, damn the elevator, let's get the stairs. So we ran down the stairs. Ran to the front of the building, and as we was running out the building, the police stopped us and told us to come back inside the building. So we proceeded back inside the building. And after we was inside the building, after that I heard that Oswald had came down through the office and came down the front stairs and was stopped by the officer that stopped us and sent us back in the building. And Mr. Trudy told him that that was all right, that he worked here. So then he proceeded on out the building. And we wonder why he stopped up.
You say Oswald, you heard that Oswald came down. Who right. did you hear that from?
Well, there was a Billy Love lady standing out there. He was on the steps. And, Oswald was coming out the door. And he said the police must stop the Oswald and send him back in the building. Billy Love lady said that Mr. Trudy told the policeman that Oswald was all right, that he worked there. So Oswald walked on down the stairs,
walked
down the street.
You didn't see
that? I didn't see that, but that's what they said happened.
Right. Now going back, you said you all went upstairs to the fifth floor.
Right.
Right. And you were kneeling down?
Yeah, see the windows was low. It was low windows in fact.
So indicating about
three or four feet from the floor. Right.
Right. So everybody was kneeling down as supposed to stand. Was the window open?
Yes, we had one.
You opened the door. Was it already open when you got there?
No, we opened it.
You opened this window. Okay. And you were kneeling down. And then you ran over to the west side of the building?
No, this was after this.
After this?
This had happened. Then we went to the west side of the building.
Right. And you saw the president sort of brushing his hair back.
Right.
Did you see the shot when it hit?
No, I couldn't see that. But after that happened, then I figured that's what it was. Then the shot hit.
Okay, this debris that was on the head of one of the fellows that you saw yourself, right?
Right.
You saw this debris. Could you describe the type of debris it was?
Most of it like dirt.
Like dirt.
Well, it's flow sweep and dirt and all that kind of stuff.
Was there any type of material on his head that you could say could be concrete?
Well, something like a mortar that go between the bricks, something like that. That was on his head.
That was on his head. You say mortar, the type of stuff that goes
between the
bricks.
Was he aware that it was on his head?
No, he wasn't aware.
He wasn't aware of it. Well, you told him it was on his head.
Until I told by the ring that it was in his head then.
Right.
Now tell me, okay, when you knelt down to watch the motorcade, did you hear any noises or any sounds coming from upstairs over there?
I didn't hear anything.
They didn't hear anything.
Where did you think this backfiring came from? What you thought was backfiring?
Well, I thought it was out on the street.
It sounded like it came from the street.
Like it was from the streets. And then Harold Norman said, no, I said, man, I think those shots came from upstairs. Say, because I've been around gunfire a lot and everything, which I had too. But sometimes a shot can come from directly over and it sound like it's on.
You in the service?
Yes. So then that's when we ran down to the south window. And then these policemen running toward the railroad tracks.
You saw policemen?
Running toward the railroad tracks.
Running toward
the railroad tracks, right.
Did they have their guns out?
Yes.
Did you yourself, when you were looking, watching the policemen run towards the railroad tracks, did you see anybody they were currently chasing? Or
no.
Didn't you see anybody?
phone ran downstairs. The police wouldn't let you leave the building.
They stopped us at the door.
At the door. When did you finally get to leave the building?
Well, we had to be, everybody that was out the building had to come back into the building. And some of the guys were out going to lunch. And we had to be fingerprinted and everything. We left a little, I think we left early that day. About 3:30, I think, when we left the building.
When you came down, you came to the front of the building or the back of the building?
Well, we was at the back of the building. We came down the back stairs.
So that would have put you where? Out into the
railroad? Out to the back dock.
Along
the back dock. It was closed in. But we came, we was inside the building. Right. We went from the back of the building to the front of the building.
Inside to the front.
Inside to the front.
Why did you come through the front if you wanted to get out? Couldn't you get out through the back way?
Well, we didn't want to go out the back way.
You didn't want to go out the back
way? No. Any special reason?
No. There was no special reason. We wanted to go to the front to see what was happening.
Oh,
so there was no sense going out the back.
You weren't afraid that somebody might accuse you of doing the other thing?
No.
No. But you felt in yourself that shots came from outside? Well, what you did was backfire.
Right.
Tell me, when you came down the back stairways to the back dock, did you see anyone back there, any other employee or anyone? Did you hear anybody?
Yeah.
Did you hear anybody prior to you going down the steps? Did you hear anybody running down the steps?
No.
There's an elevator back there, is that correct?
That's right. The elevator on, but it was going on both sides.
On both sides of the building.
Yeah.
Okay. The elevator that was, whichever elevator it was that you could hear or see, did you see anybody or hear the elevator being operated?
No, I didn't.
You didn't. And you, let me ask you again, you heard no one running down the stairs or up the stairs or anything? When you went to lunch, did you eat in the building or outside the building?
Well, I didn't eat lunch, period.
Well, you didn't eat lunch that day anymore.
No. I ate my lunch, but I didn't eat it.
No. Any special reason? Because of the excitement or?
Well, because I wanted to see the president. I never had seen him before. Okay.
Now, earlier you said that Oswald had made several mistakes that day.
Right.
And that it wasn't like him to make a mistake.
No, he was A1 article. He was an A1 out autofiller. I mean, you know.
He didn't make
mistakes. When I say that, he didn't ever had made no mistakes.
But he made a lot of mistakes this day.
He made quite a few that day.
Did he seem to be nervous? Or give you
he didn't seem to be nervous or anything. Just
he seemed to be preoccupied in mind somewhere else.
Well, maybe he had that day. But you know, I didn't give it any thought about anything like that. Really, I wasn't.
Thinking back now. Attention. To that time.
Well, yeah,
the picture in your mind of Oswald, did he appear nervous, do you know?
Well, he did then. I imagine now he did. I could say that he did appear nervous.
And the first time you saw him was somewhere around after 8:30?
Right.
No, the first time.
The first time I saw him was around about between 8 and 8:30.
And he just spoke to you?
That's right.
Were you friendly with Oswald or anything?
Well, not real friendly.
But speaking terms?
But off and on speaking terms, you know.
You ever have lunch?
Never did have no conversation or anything. We had lunch in the same lunchroom, but he wasn't talking or anything. He just read most of the time.
Did he associate with any of the people?
No.
What did he read, you know?
Newspaper, book. Newspaper that way.
Have you, during the time that he was working there and you became aware of him, had you ever seen him show any type of animosity towards anybody?
No.
No.
Just the average felony.
Did he associate with any particular person there?
No one, but I can't think of the dude's name. The one that brought him to work all the time. The
fellow that worked there?
Right.
Now, let me ask you one thing. You said that you saw him sometime between 8 and 8:30 that day, that morning for the first time.
Right.
Okay.
All right. When you saw him, was he in the building or was he coming in the building?
He was in the building.
He was already in the building. Would you recall, did he have anything with him? Was he holding anything in his hands?
Well, I didn't see it with anything myself, because I was over at the chicken stand and this. Well, it was in view of the dressing room, I say. But at the time, I wasn't paying no attention when he came in, because he was later than I would get in.
But he was late that morning.
Right.
He was late?
Yes.
But you couldn't recall if he was carrying anything or not?
No, because I didn't see him when he came in.
He asked you about the reason the people were gathering downstairs. How did it seem to you that he really didn't know that what they were gathering for, or you just asked him?
Well, at the time, I didn't think anything about it. He had just started there and everything, and I didn't know if he knew or not.
And after you told him, what was his reaction?
He just said, "Oh, I see."
Walked
away, and I went on back to check him.
And you didn't see him anymore after that?
No. And the dude that he used to ride with, Wesley, I can't think of his name.
Is he still working at the Coke Deposit?
Wesley?
Yeah.
I don't even think he's here in Dallas.
Did they come to work there together?
Yes, he always brought Oliver to work.
After that, you didn't see him anymore until you saw him on TV.
Right.
How about the fella that worked with Oswald, the guy that you said usually brought him to work after that? Did you see him the next day?
I saw him that same day.
You saw him that same day?
Right.
Where?
Well, he was an order filler also. Mm-hmm. So I had contact with all the order fillers because I was checking if they made a mistake. I called him to correct him. But he said that when he brought Oswald to work after this happened, that Oswald had something that looked like a curtain rod or something, wrapped up in brown paper. And he asked him when he picked him up, what was it? He said, "Oh, I smoke curtain rods, I want to take you and pick something out for me." Wesley told me that.
He told you that. Repeat that again. He said that Oswald told him it was what?
That there was some curtain rods that he was going to have to take him and fix up his apartment or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, what else did he say? What's this guy's name? Wesley, you said his name?
Right, that's his first name, but I can't think of his other name.
Now, could you tell me what brought about this conversation? Did he volunteer this information to you, or did you all engage in dialogue,
Well, we was discussing this after the president had been shot and killed and everything. So the next day, when he came back to work, well, we was discussing it,
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what he was telling me. He didn't know to tell me. He told several other guys that's what he thought it was criminal laws. Well, then there was a rifle that he was carrying.
Was there anything else said?
No.
If you can recall. Okay, he said... He said now that he came in with Oswald with this package.
Right, Oswald, when he got out the car, he brought the package inside with him.
Right.
Into the dressing room.
Into the dressing room, right.
Did
Did he say
what you said was curtain rods?
Correct. Now, did he say what Oswald did with the package once he got it into the dressing room?
No. But he was questioning about that package after everything happened. And they searched for that package, but they couldn't find it.
Did Oswald have a everybody had lockers in there?
No, it's just a wide open dressing room, just like this room.
And what kind of dressing would you do in there? Would you change clothes?
You change clothes.
Where did you put your other clothes?
Well, we had a closet like deal, something like an inside closet.
And if you had anything to store, where would you put it?
We had a little ledge around it, one was had put things over time.
Oh, that's what, that would be to hide it if you put it behind it. Was there anything being stolen in there or anything?
No.
So in other words, if you went in and you changed your clothes, you just put them in the closet. If you had a package, you would put it on the ledge in the window?
Right.
Say, with that package, where would Oswald have placed that, by any chance? If
you, well,
would it go in the closet? Or?
Yeah, if it was, if I would say where he would put it at, he would have put it in that little, where you hang up the clothes at.
And where is this dressing room located?
That was on the first floor.
Okay. And what floor did Oswald usually work on?
First, fifth, sixth, seventh.
Work on all the floors. When you saw him, what floors were he on?
Well, I was on the first floor. I never did go up to
You never left the first floor?
Other floors, unless I had to or wanted to.
So when Oswald was making these mistakes?
Well, he would go and get the correct book, which at the time was, he was spilling Think and Do books, so that would go down to the sixth floor.
He would go up to the sixth floor, and he'd come down to you to check him out?
He'd bring the book back to me.
Right. And you would tell him?
I'd check it.
And if it was wrong, he'd have to go back and get another one. And about how many mistakes did he make that day?
I'd say about three or four.
Three or four, which is highly unusual.
Right.
So every time he made a mistake, he had to come to you, and you would send him back. Do you remember which
floor? After he found out what it was, then he would go get it. After it wasn't in the shelves on the first floor, he had to go to the sixth floor. And that particular morning, he went to the sixth floor two times to correct two orders because he didn't have any books down on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
And they was thinking do books.
Thinking do books.
Right.
Now, how long would it usually take him to go from where you were up to the sixth floor?
Well, that would all depend if nobody else was using the elevator. If somebody else was using the elevator, then he would have to let me in go.
Do you recall the last mistake he made, the time?
Well, the last mistake he made?
Approximately time.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it was around about 11:25, 11:30. Then he went and got the book and brought it back. And it was the last time I saw
him.
Inside the building.
Inside the building. Okay. Now, at any of these times, after making a mistake and being corrected by you, and him going to take the elevator or whatever to get up to the sixth floor, if you can recall, any one of these times, did you ever see him carry any type of package?
No.
No. When you saw him at 8:30, he didn't have a package.
No.
And no other time you saw him with, other than a book.
So but he never seen him with a packet at all, except his clipboard and the orders that he was filling.
Now, he carried a clipboard, and he filled an order. But how many books would be to an order? Is there any set amount?
Well, yeah, you can't tell.
Would he have to put it on a dolly or something to carry him, or
sometime,
could he carry it in his hand?
Sometime.
That day, did he have to use a dolly?
No. I didn't see him use one that day.
Let me ask you another question. Could a stranger could a stranger walk in to that school book and walk and go upstairs to the sixth floor without being challenged?
Very easy.
Very easy.
Very easy.
So, I mean, it was readily accessible very to anybody.
Very busy. Some elevators right there. Doors about, let's see, the back door is down. It's about 7 to 8 feet to that door.
Mm-hmm.
But when the freight door is up, it's just a step. And that day, that the dock door was up and the side door too.
So it was open to anyone.
It was so open.
In other words, if anyone walked in, there wasn't anyone there to challenge him. There wasn't any guard.
No guard.
If I decided to walk in the building and just go upstairs,
well, no one would say. Walk inside the building, step on the elevator, pull the gate down, go on upstairs.
Jarman, at this time, is there anything that we haven't asked you about that you would like to tell us? Something that we may have missed in the conversation that you would like to tell us? Something, you know, anything.
Anything you can recall?
Not anything that I know about. This.
Let me ask you another thing. Now, since you worked there, I'm sure that there was a lot of other workers there. Now, while you were looking out of the window, did you see anybody in the street? Anybody in the street that you knew personally? Like some friends?
Well, the only one I noticed out there on the side was my cousin.
Was your cousin?
Right.
Okay, your cousin was outside?
Right.
Where was your cousin, on Elm Street? Or?
She was on Elm Street.
She was on Elm Street. Was she on the same side of the street as the book depository? Or was
right,
she, on Elm
she was on the same side of
the as the book depository. Okay, do you know if anybody ever spoke to her? Nobody ever spoke to her?
Not that I know.
Okay, would you give me her name and address and phone number?
Right.
She was there to see the president at the time?
Right. She was out there at the time.
What's her name?
Irma Jean Van Zandt.
How do you spell that?
Banzan.
Right.
And I'll have to get her address.
How old was she at the time?
The only reason I did that is because we have the tape going. And
right.
If you leave, we have to cut the tape off and restart it all over. You know, because as you can understand, tapes can be altered. You
right.
know, but
right.
we want everything to be just as it's happening. No switches, no changes, or nothing. Okay. Now, have you discussed this with her? What she saw when she was out in the street? You all never discussed it back?
Well, we talked about it after that, you know.
Yeah, well,
it's
later.
Yeah. After that. Just sit down and discuss it right then.
Well, I mean afterwards. Yeah. At any time afterwards. I mean, you all had conversation among yourselves, right?
She was standing down there watching.
Right.
She had a bird eye view there.
Right.
Did she work in the area?
She worked right across the street from me.
And that...
That dress factory.
She worked in the dress factory? Right. She still worked in the factory?
No, it's closed down. She works out to Hanger Slacks now.
She works out of Hanger Slacks?
Yeah. We were going out there trying to buy some
clothes. Yeah.
She's supposed to be a supervisor at the...
Excuse me. Can you tell me briefly, during the course of conversations with her, what did she have to say?
Well, we were just talking on and early, you know, and then she asked me, like, Bubba, do you think Oswald really killed the president? And I told her, yeah, I think he did.
I got a mask on. We'll take it down there on Cindy Lee, right there in Cindy Lee. His name is Jolie Van Zandt. Joseph? Jolie. Joseph? Jolie. Joseph. Van Zandt is 4409 Cindy Lee. Right. 4409. Cindy Lee.
That's in Dallas, right?
Right.
That was pretty big.
Thank you.
And she asked you, did you really believe that
Oswald shot the president? And I told her, yeah.
And what did she have to say?
I asked her, like, maybe do you think he did it? She said, yeah, I don't know. And maybe Bubba, I don't know. But he could have. They said he did.
Well, now, she was standing on the street, right?
Right.
Did she tell you what she saw?
No, I never asked her.
And she never volunteered to tell you what she saw? Okay. Now, was there anybody else out there that you knew of?
Friends or anything?
No. Only somebody else that was standing out there at the table, so...
Get
it, lady. Go on in and get the
same, you said. Jill, don't start coming around the back. The only one out there was who? I think it was Billy Love, lady. I'm not sure if he was out there at that time, before that happened or after that happened. But he could be on with somebody else.
But he worked at the
building. Yes, he worked at it. He's the one that, you know, they said that he looked something like Lee Harvey Oswald.
In your opinion, did he in fact look like
something sort of up from the side view?
He did.
And he was in town here, let's see, last week.
He was?
And he said that, I guess it's same people from Stokes. Went down to Colorado to see him. He said they stayed there about 2 or 3 hours talking to him.
He lives in Colorado.
He was here in Dallas and he got transferred out there.
Have you ever seen this kid, Bonnie Ray Williams?
Bonnie Ray, I saw Bonnie Ray here about a month and a half ago up here at the shop or something.
At the what?
Shopping center.
Do you know where he lives?
Not sure.
He's still in Dallas.
He's here in Dallas.
You know his phone number?
I don't know his phone number.
You know where he's working?
I don't know where he's working.
How about his brother, sister, cousin?
I didn't meet any of his people.
Oh, you don't know any of his family? His girlfriend, too?
I don't know where he's married. I don't even know who he's married. See, because he left a depository.
What time you got?
I got 3:20. 4:20.
4:20?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tape is signed off at 4:20.